You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Like I said, the Grizzlies are 2-1 since the last time we spoke, Jason. We said it was a loss to the Kings, two wins against the Pelicans and the Knicks. Smith, what were your thoughts on the Grizzlies? While you were, I know it was, NFL is king on Thanksgiving Day, but while you were eating your turkey, your dressing, your mashed potatoes, your green bean casserole, we know that your pumpkin and your sweet potato pie. We know you had a little something, everything probably going on over the holidays. What were your thoughts about the Grizzlies and how they looked last week since the last time we saw them?
Well, it felt like, I agree with you. It felt like they let one get away, you know, against Sacramento. They're late, had a chance, but after that game, you're a little more concerned, I think, than we had been saying, in the sense that it was then 1-5 without Bane. So to be able to get these last two wins, I'm with you. Real statement you made against the Pelicans, I thought, especially the way you won that game, to come back and you get that one, you get the one against the Knicks, you're feeling a lot better about where you've been, you know, where you are still again without Desmond Bane. So that's where I was at, saying was starting to get concerned. Team was 1-5 without him. Now, you know, the mark isn't much better at 3-5, but you can tell yourself, okay, now, especially with Dylan and with Jaren, we said, you know, last episode going into this, that those two in particular were going to have to help fill the void offensively. And that couldn't just be all on a sub or a guy like John Conchar. And so that's what you've seen, you know, Jaren too. I know we'll get to him, but he's played well, not just defensively, but we've seen something, maybe a step from him offensively. Dylan, particularly these last couple of games, you know, offensively, maybe not as efficient as you like, but he's been there in terms of production. So, you know, at a time where you could have been concerned, I think, you know, a couple big guys have stepped up to go with Ja, and you've got yourself a nice two-game streak at a time that you needed it. And real good, like you said, to do it against the Pelicans.
Right. And something you said about guys stepping up. A guy who's really surprised us this season, we talked about this a few weeks ago, a guy that I think his value is really understated on this team is Steven Adams. And we know he gets the rebounds. We know he gets in the way. We know he sets picks for Ja. But scoring points, man, he scored in double digits the last couple games, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. I think he did it in the first game since we talked. But I know in the last two, he's definitely had those double-digit scoring games. It gets kind of frustrating because the free throws are a miss. It's almost like a turnover. I was talking to some of the fellas yesterday. I was like, man, these plays where we run actions to get Steven Adams going, if you foul him, man, it's just like punting the ball you might as well just punt the ball into the crowd because it's just like a turnover, you know, when he goes to the
free throw. And you had to take him out defensively late against because you're in a situation where they're going to foul. You can't afford to have him at the free throw line.
Yeah, that part kills you, but getting him going early is really helping out. He gets a lot of touches around the basket, a lot of offensive rebounds. He's really helped this team over the last week or so without Desmond Bane. John Conchar has been big as well, man. He's a guy that I give a lot of criticism to, but he's knocking down some big shots, rebounds. I think he's averaged double digits in both of the games. And if you think about it, this team that we're playing, the version of us now, and when you're getting – you got Bane, Ja, and Jaren. I'm sorry. When you got Dylan, Ja, and Jaren, that's pretty much that same core you had a couple of years ago when you were a playoff team because Jitty, he's kind of playing that Grayson Allen role when Grayson Allen was a starter on his team. So this is still a high-value, high-quality team that we have on the court, and they're showing it. They're hitting the groove, and they're really playing some good basketball right now. And I think, like you look at it right now, they're 12-8. Third in the West, like I said earlier in the show, you're in a good place to be, man. In spite of all the injuries we've had, guys being out, guys being sick, injuries, like, they've been crazy with us. Like, Jaws out, Bane's out. As soon as you get Jaren back, you know, Bane's out. That kind of stuff. With all that going on, you're a game and a half out of first in the West. and yep. only teams in front of you are the teams that, you know, got most of the hype, Phoenix and Denver. The Clippers aren't there. The Clippers are behind you. You know, the teams like Utah, they're coming back down to earth. Golden State Warriors, they've fallen off. Dallas has been disappointing. The Grizzlies are right there in the hunt, right where you want to be, and you haven't even gotten full strength yet. And you look at this month of December coming up, assuming you're going to get some guys back, and it can be some really good games ahead for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, you know, I got to give you credit. We had talked about it, and you had said before the season you expected this team to be top four, and I think
it did change. Nothing.
When you throw everything that they've seen at them with the number of injuries, the number of guys it's affected, you know, to be sitting here third, just a game and a half out of the West, out of the first place in the West, I think it's Phoenix as of today. You know, it is a good spot. Plus, you feel pretty good about Bane that this isn't something gonna, you know, when it first gets out there, reevaluate 2 to 3 weeks. Okay, you don't know exactly where that toe's going to be at that point, but certainly it was some good news to see him out there and to see that news out there that it feels like he's getting closer to that. But that's the thing is that that's what this whole year has been about, saying it's trying to get all four of those guys on the on the floor together. And at each point this season, when one or two have been out, seems like the other ones have stepped up. So I'll take 12-8 through 20 third place in the West right now.
And something I'll kind of highlight from the game yesterday was – we saw Jaren kind of struggle in the first half. The first few games that Jaren has came back against, he's played against teams that aren't really too physical, don't have a lot of big guys, a lot of strength in the post. And he's kind of had his way. He's had a lot of mismatches. But that New York team is tough as shit, man. They'll foul you. They'll get physical with you. And you can see that it was looking like it might be a little bit too much for him with Hardenstein and, you know, I'm bad with remembering names. I got all
Randall and
big. The center for New York. I can't think of his name.
Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah. Mitchell Robinson is a beast. But with those guys, they were kind of giving Jaren some problems. But he started just in the second half, man, and finding other ways to score. And, like, I give kudos to him for that for sure because, like I said, that Knicks team is strong. They're physical as shit, man. And for Jaren to, you know, kind of bounce back in the second half, I want to say he finished with 20 points again, knocking down some threes. He didn't get any blocks last night. He's rebounding the ball better, it seems. Shout out to Jaren for that effort against New York. And shout out for John Conchar. We were joking about how Dylan was working super hard on defense trying to contain Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson's a beast too, by the way. But Dylan was working super hard trying to contain Jalen Brunson, was getting cooked. He fouls out of the game. Next two possessions, Jalen Brunson can't score on John Conchar.
I thought for sure that one was going to drop.
So much luck at the end of that game.
Yeah. But there was a little luck involved because he was on, what do you have, 17 in the fourth? He was on absolute fire.
He was going crazy
in that fourth quarter. He was.
Yeah.
You got to give it to Brooks some more. I know we'll probably get to that, but to go from, you know, De'Aaron at times to Zion, you know, to Brunson, I mean, it just shows you his versatility defensively at a time where you're asking him to be more efficient, fall in line. Oh, no, now we need you to take more shots, be more efficient with Bane out. I mean, he's still giving you that first team, his first team defense that you're getting from him on pretty much on a nightly basis.
Because he was giving Zion some real problems.
Yes, man. If you look at the numbers, Zion was 0 for 5 when Dylan was the primary defender.
Yeah. And he's going to have to probably get some minutes on Carl Anthony Towns.
Going to have to.
They're probably going to throw him on Towns a little bit this week. Yeah, you got to give Dylan props, man. Like, there are some things about Dylan that you know are going to happen. He's going to take some bad shots. He's going to have his hero ball moments. He's going to do his heat checks. He's going to do his Kobe Bryant-esque pull-up mid-range shots, some fadeaways and all these type of things. But you know he's going to give you that energy on defense. He's going to get in these guys' heads. He got he didn't get Randall going. Who was it he was talking crazy to? And it might have been Brunson. I don't know. I saw fans were messing with him. And you could kind of tell early that this is going to be a Dylan game. He's going to mentally he's going to score a lot of loud points and make him play a lot of loud defense. What I mean by that is Dylan Brooks' 2 points, they're louder than other people's 2 points, man, because there's going to be some bravado to it. It's going to make some impact. It's going to get the crowd engaged and all those type of things. But, yeah, like I said, Dylan had a great game the last couple of games. And, man, I gotta give him his props, man. When Dylan does well, I'll be one of the first people to come to slam him. But I can't knock him now. When you got a guy who you know is going to give that maximum effort on defense and going to make guys work hard as hell to try to score on him, and he's capable of scoring 20 points in the game as well. I can't knock Dylan at all.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I hope he's rewarded for it this season. I hope he's finally elevated into that. I hope that Dylan Brooks is finally elevated into that status of whether it's second team, first team, all defense. I think, you know, especially with the versatility, I'll go guard the other team's best player, you know, basically no matter what position he's playing. I hope he gets that respect this year of the, you know, of his peers, of the media. Hope he finally makes it official. You got one in Jaren. I think it's time the NBA sort of recognizes Dylan Brooks as that officially.
Well, I think if certain things that we're predicting to kind of happen, I think both of us are kind of predicting the Grizzlies to go on a crazy-ass run, maybe, when you got all four of your big
all
four.
Of them.
And so when you get that roster who's only played 11 games together in the last 2 years of Steven Adams, Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr., I think once you get that lineup together, I think this team is going to make an incredible run. And I think if that run happens, certain things are going to happen to make that run be what it is. If the Grizzlies are going to be one of the better teams in not only the Western Conference, but in the NBA this season, that's going to include Jaren Jackson Jr. looking like a defensive player of the year and Dylan Brooks probably looking like a first or a second team all-defensive guy. Just like last year when Boston was going crazy and their defense was phenomenal. Marcus Smart, you know, was looking like your defensive player of the year, along with Williams, who was also a guy. Those two guys were both candidates for defensive player of the year. So I think it could be something similar, kind of like the year that Mike Conley, Tony Allen, and Marc Gasol were all named to, you know, all defensive teams. I can see it definitely being a situation like that for sure. But Dylan deserves it, man, because he won't be the first guy. Because there are a lot of people who think that Dylan's stuff on defense is all bravado. Like, it's all just like him barking, and it's all mental stuff. He's not really the best defender, the most disciplined defender. There's like a lot of numbers don't suggest to saying he's a good defender. There have been plenty of guys that have got there just on reputation alone. And so I wouldn't feel any type of way if Dylan made a all-defensive team, for sure. But, yeah, something else I wanted to talk about just from the games we saw in the past. That have already happened this week is just more like on Steven Adams' play. Like you said, the free throws are a real problem. You know you're going to get those problems with him. But if he's a guy that gives Ja that option to not only get all the way to the basket, but to dump the ball off to him for that easy 2 points, that's a good way to start off your game when teams have to adjust to that. And then you saw Ja yesterday. The floater was dropping. Ja had a slow second half. Finished the game with a 27-point triple-double. I think he only had like 8 at the half or something like that. If you can find other ways to open things up with a guy like Steven Adams, you know, you're talking about you're really making things a lot easier for everybody on the court, for sure.
There are opportunities for him. I believe it was the Knicks saying they ran together a little bit with the Friday and the Sunday, but where – You know, Steven Adams, a lot of times he's looking for that tap out offensive rebound, whatever else. But I think it was the Knicks where he does the nice little quick after getting the nice little scoop shot, the nice little reverse, and gets a nice little bucket. It feels like there are those opportunities.
Yeah, easy buckets you can get.
Easy ones like that to get more of, right? More there at a time, like we said with Bane out, that you could use it right now. So, the free throw issue, last I looked, it was at 23%. I mean, for what it is. Everybody keeps saying it's not hack a Shaq. It almost is. It essentially is. He just ain't Shaq. But it's gotten to a point where it's that bad that, you know, there are going to be times like, again, at the end of that Knicks game, you can't even have him on the floor, because they're going to look to foul him, obviously, when that game flips. So I wish there was something he could do about that right now in season, in run. Doubt there's going to be. You're going to put up that. But for the most part, He's picked it up offensively, and of course he's freeing up that lane for Ja when Ja needs it open to go close.
Are you concerned about Tyus Jones at all? Because numbers came out today showing like two-man combinations, like overall net, you know, averages and those type of things.
And I'm not. I want to say I'll judge that when things settle down. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you get Bane back in there, right?
Right.
Bane and Ja on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Tyus is coming off the bench leading that second unit. Let's see what it looks like then. I don't worry so much about the combinations. Tyus a pro, man. He earned that money. And the one thing about it, if he's he usually comes back down and finds that sort of, I don't know, that straight line. So for a team that, you know, what are you asking for from your backup point guard? Well, when Ja goes down, that's when I want more from you. That's when I got more of the magnifying glass on you. I'm not so much worried about the combinations right now, because again, saying what I'm trying to learn about are the four you mentioned. But just like Milwaukee got to a point where it learned, okay, we need to make a move, go add to this, go get Drew Holiday. Mm-hmm. Boston gets to a point last season, learns about itself. Hell, we're turning the ball over like crazy. We need a ball handler when it's time. And Boston learns it in the finals, goes and gets a Malcolm Brogdon. My hope for this season and why it can be so valuable is if you can get those guys on the floor, give yourself a chance as a contender to go more importantly, learn about yourself. If it's not going to be a title, it's still being that. And hey, do we have to have Dylan Brooks? Oh, no. It's got to be another guy that's going to be more efficient in the hole that we ask for, but can also defend. You'll find that out about yourself, it feels like, this season, once they get them on the floor in a year where, oh, by the way, you looks like you're going to be, as you said, a top four seed, a contender. Right. So while getting to take a shot, you're hopefully finding out, all right, this is the kind of move we got to make. So saying, like we said, your chips ain't all in like Minnesota's or somebody else that's already gone and made a move and maybe probably made yourself worse. You get to learn about yourself now, and you know, with all your chips still, you're right in front of you. And hopefully, again, soon you're going to have them all out there. We'll find out what this team could be. Again, I'm talking mostly playoffs, but that's the hope, man, for me, is to learn about whether or not what these four guys in particular can do together.
Yeah, a lot of stuff statistically tells me that I should be worried about Tyus. Like you said, I look at history as well as statistics, man. He's a guy, like you said, he's a pro. He's a gamer. We've seen him like go on stretches where he comes down and he's making four or five straight floaters in a row. We just know Tyus can ball. And something about Tyus too, that a lot of people are kind of saying, is that last year Tyus was on the court with, you know, the DeAnthony Meltons, the Kyle Andersons, Brandon Clark, a good or a better Xavier Tillman, you know, at times. He's got a lot of rookies out there he's playing
no
with.
Doubt.
Man. He's like, he's like a substitute teacher with a class full of bad kids right now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of players who are still trying to learn the games, and he doesn't really know their spots. They don't really know him, and he's not playing with some of the better lineups. And the combination with him and Ja together just isn't as magical as it's been in the past. I don't really know if that's because of him, because of Tyus, or just, you know, shots aren't falling this year like they were. Because a lot of the good stuff last year was based on guys just making shots between when that lineup was on the court. So,
but the more you have Bane and Dylan Brooks available,
it brings those other guys back. It brings
the less it matters back. The less you're going to need Tyus and Ja combination.
Great point. Yeah,
you're just not going to need it.
I was having a conversation too, because there are a lot of people who are kind of stressing out about the whole Dylan Brooks thing. Like, well, man, you know, I'm still kind of shell shocked from how Dylan fell apart in the playoffs last year. And I was like, man, when Dylan he fell apart in the playoffs, he started playing hero ball in a game where Ja was out and Desmond Bane had a broken back. You know what I mean? So I don't knock Dylan for having that mentality. And even though it didn't work, he looked ridiculous trying to be play a hero or whatever. But I don't knock him for having that mentality. If Ja, Jaren, and Bane are good and they're cooking the way they're doing things, I'm not worried about Dylan. Those guys are too good for him to mess up the pecking order. Like, you know what I mean? He's not a madman, bro. He is, but he ain't. You know what I mean? He's crazy as shit. I mean, we all know that, but I'm not worried about Dylan like that. Because like you said, it's going to come down to how good those three guys are. And if those guys are playing the way they're playing, Dylan's not going to have any choice about the fall in line.